Namo Buddha, Namo Dhamma, Namo Sangha. Namo Buddha, Namo Dhamma, Namo Sangha. Namo Buddha, Namo Dhamma, Namo Sangha. This last instruction, which I gave to you about the six dharmas of Tilopa, sounds like you're not supposed to think. But actually, it is more like meant as a relief. It is more meant like a remedy. Don't try so hard. You don't have to reflect on the past. You don't have to anticipate the future. You don't have to comment the present. You know, all this analyzing, all this extra work you are doing. No, no, no. Leave it as it is. And I remember two friends of mine, really good friends of mine. One of them did the retreat together with me, the 3-year retreat. And later on did a second 3-year retreat, which I was guiding. And he is 10 years older than me. So he is in the mid-70s now, 75. And he is a Lama. He's teaching in Germany. The other one I remember now is a Lama teaching in Brazil. And both of them, they have something in common. They could never calm their mind. It was just impossible. The mind was too active. And sometimes when hearing these teachings, they would despair. They would think, oh, this is not for me. My mind is running all over. Yes? So this one close friend of mine, he was also diagnosed in youth as hyperactive syndrome. And he was a teacher. He became a teacher, and he, of course, he did sports teacher. Yes, it is activity, and he loved dancing. And even today, as a Lama, he is still going to with his Brazilian friends, and he's doing boxing. Yes, yes. And once or twice a week, he goes for boxing, and you know, and both of them, they love to dance. They love to, you know, active, active. And that is, I want to let you know, with all these instructions, you should know there is a way, a Dharma way for the active people. You don't all have to go through shamatha, calming your mind, and then comes the insight. You can go differently. You can go through the insight, and that will help you to calm the mind. That's a different way. My estimation is, the way I know my students, I would say 80% are more first with shamatha and then into insight. And the other 20, if I teach them to calm the mind and not to do this and not to do that and so on, they freak out. Yes? And so there's a different teaching. There's a different approach for them. And it is known. This is a known phenomenon. It has always been like this. It's not new. So we need to talk about the approach where insight comes first. And actually, I tell you honestly, with you these last days, I was following this approach. I was following the approach that I was giving you more insight teaching than giving you a chance to develop shamatha. You might be waiting for your jhanas to occur, you know. They don't happen like this. We are going a different way. We are going the way of insight. Because that's the special thing about Mahamudra, to use everything as the path. And you don't first have to become calm. You just need to develop that capacity not to believe your cinema. That's what you need. The cinema can go on, the show can go on, the mind can be as active as it wants. You know, we are not lying when we say, allow all the appearances to arise, and then suddenly we tell you, don't think. No, no, there would be a contradiction there. This is not what was the meaning of the six dhammas of Tilopa. It's just that don't get involved. Don't get involved with past, present, future means let it arise, but see through. See, you would be maybe like, maybe some of you love to see films. There could be a few of you who like to see films. Yes, cinema at home, home cinema, TV, internet, whatever. You know, imagine that you were a professional in filmmaking. A professional in filmmaking who looks at the way the film is done. You are one of them. Yes, and you look at how the light is going, how the music blends with the scenes, how the actors are doing. There are so many things, and you know how to really make a movie so that the movie has an emotional effect. You want a specific emotional effect at a certain time. Now, when we talk about Mahamudra with an active mind, we talk about this attitude of seeing through the film. To see through, oh, this effect produces that. When I have this coming in, then there is this fear. When that happens, then I have this desire. And to see through the cinema. So it starts, actually it starts with the Buddha's teaching on the eight analogies of illusion. It's an old teaching, you know, we could go into it, but it nowadays the Buddha would add to this list of illusions, he would add movies. He was talking about rainbows, about mirage, Fata Morgana, that means. He was talking about what else? Dreams. He was talking about, for example, the city of the Gandharvas, which is a city which never existed, just fantasy, you know, and so on. He's giving examples like that. I'm not going into those examples now. That's not the idea. Because we have much better example. We have cinema. We have projection of films, and we can understand the mechanism of projection. It is so easy. A good movie, and we cry. We get tense, even if it's just a football match, even if Germany loses or whatever, you know? You know, you get into it, and if you know it's a movie, or if you know it's just a game, then you can relax. So the idea is to see through the movie so that you are able to relax and to look at it as if you were a professional filmmaker. So, in the old Mahamudra teachings, there's for example the Lojong slogan, which is be a child of illusion or behave like a magician. This means, the explanation when you read the commentary is, a magician, like in circus, when you have a magician in circus, you know, producing the rabbit from the sleeve and so on, the magician knows his tricks. And he is the only one not fooled by the show. Okay, that's the idea. So you need to know your show. Otherwise, there will be suffering. If you believe the show of your own emotions, there will be suffering. That's clear. Then you believe everything to be the way the very tense, the stressed mind is producing. That is the problem if one doesn't see through the cinema of one's own karmic projections. So the imprints in our mind, the childhood experiences, and the one trauma on top of the other, and all of that produces nightmare. It produces drama, and it's not a comedy at all. It's difficult. Yes, and when you get caught in that, it is real suffering. So this approach, the one by seeing through the projections of your mind, is the inside approach. Yeah, this is directly going. And the, what you need to do is, you don't need to sit tense, you know, sit straight and so on. Actually, what you do is you relax as much as you can. You sit against the wall. You don't fall asleep usually because the mind is so active. So there's no risk. We do it in those times when there's no risk. Yeah? That's not the if you add more tension to an active mind, it will become hyperactive. Yeah? So definitely you need to relax. You need to element earth has to be encouraged. So you eat good food, you relax, and your mind produces all these thoughts. And then maybe you just have one line of this kind of instruction lying in front of you, maybe in big letters, you know. For example, this sentence, be a child of illusion, which is, know the show like a magician, or be like a scene, how do you say, the filmmaker, what is the right word for that? Huh? A producer, yeah. Like you give yourself an encouragement, and of course, in between we get caught. In between, okay, but this is part of the show. In between we get caught, but then we remember, maybe because our eyes fall on what we have in front of us, ah, okay, it's pretty much a dream, all of that. It's like a dream. It's not exactly like a dream because it's not at night, it's during the day. But actually, none of that is really going on now. All of these are thoughts about past, about the future, and some ideas in the present, but it's not happening here. Actually, I'm fine. So this is how you, the producer, the filmmaker, or whoever, a film critic, you know, would always know, I'm sitting here in the hall and I'm watching a spectacle. Yeah, it's like on the screen, and I see how well it is done. I can feel my reactions to it, but I can also see the audience. And I know, basically, it's just a fantastic production. Okay, so this attitude you need to have. We need to look at your life as a fantastic production. And then comes the really interesting part. You can improve the production. Yes, you can make it better. What's this beautiful film with the, you know, this film where the same scene, and it's an American film where the same scene is played again and again. Huh? Life of the Truman, is it that? Truman Show. Yes, like this. So you improve your Truman Show, your True Woman Show. Yes, you improve that. And this is how in the show you behave better. It's really like, see that you are acting in a drama. You are acting in a theater play. And every time you have a moment of awareness, it's a game. It's as if the curtain comes down. And after that moment of awareness, you have a new start. And that's the possibility. Because at that moment, you are out of it. You don't believe it completely. And then you can start again, a little bit differently. And I'm talking about small differences. You know, instead of shouting loud with anger, you don't shout so loud. It's already better. And then you learn, instead of shouting, you say, I could shout, but I'm not. Yes? Yes, and the humor is coming into the game, you know, and you don't take yourself and your projection so seriously. A little bit, yes, and still a lot, but less than before. And you won't imagine what these small changes over time, how much that changes your life. How much you will appreciate yourself with this little change. A little bit less drama, a little bit less anger, a little bit less desire, less often buying the show. You don't buy into the show so often. So you can be a little bit more relaxed. And actually, you begin enjoying life more. Yes? Because you also feel, you begin to feel your freedom to act. You begin to feel your freedom to actually influence your life. The mind is still active. The mind is still all the time active. But in the activity, you're sailing a strong ship. You know, you're sailing in strong wind, a strong ship, and you learn how to sail with heavy winds. It's not so calm and, you know, like maybe for other people. You're going with in great intensity in your life. And this great intensity, okay, you can't stop it, but you learn to maneuver better with that. You're not just blown by the winds. You know, you're not just caught in your karmic cinema, but you actually can begin to steer. And this is where this steering capacity comes from, seeing through the illusion. And you can go with an active mind until completely seeing through the illusion, and you never have to calm your mind down. You just become really capable in surfing. Yes? Really fantastic surfer in the world. But this is, of course, a long journey. Yeah, we need to learn. In the beginning, it's only stormy and we are being shaken about and we don't know what to do. And we desperately go to some meditation teacher because we think, oh, maybe if I learn to meditate, this will help. But then we sit there and everyone else becomes so quiet. And we are going nuts inside, you know, scratching here, doing there, wanting to move. If I only could go dancing, you know, we dream of activity. And then maybe you do meditation and dancing. Maybe you learn to play with that. Why not? Do your meditation with activity. And then after the physical activity, maybe that's the only good moment to sit down and experience a moment of quiet. That's why in Tibetan tradition, we have the prostrations. These, you know, 111,000 prostrations as a preliminary to Mahamudra. I did them 3 times. Yes, the whole preliminaries. It was good for me to absorb my activity because I was very active. And then with the activity, you know, you can let it out and then you're exhausted, and an exhausted body, it's easier to meditate. The mind is not so exhausted yet, but the body is then happy to sit still. When I entered 3-year retreat, I didn't know it was going to be 4 years, and so on, but we were just, I built this blockhouse in the forest in Dordogne, yes, and I had to clear the forest, make space, and then I built the blockhouse on pillars and so on. And then we entered retreat with Irene, and I had all this wood, these trees lying around, so. And I had been so active for building the house that it was difficult for me to sit still. It took me a while. And so I was, every time I was having little, you know, difficulty in meditation, I would go out and chop wood. I was chopping wood and everything by hand. I was not using any motor, a saw, or, and so on. Everything was done by hand. Because it was a forest of yogis, and there were other yogis there, and so I was doing it as silent as I could. And my teacher, who lived 80 meters away, then she gave me wonderful instruction. Yes, that's good that you chop wood, but how about if in between you sit for a while on top of your pile of wood? Just sit on top. After chopping, instead of, you know, continue and continue, make a little pause in between and sit. And that was a wonderful instruction. With all my activity, I experienced moments of completely natural calm. Not thinking about past, present, future, not analyzing, not meditating. Just like that. Because my energies had been liberated by enough work, and then like that you can learn. So I'm just giving this little message to you as a message of, hey, understand it properly. The idea is truly not to think about past, present, and future, but if you have an active mind, see through, don't get involved with the cinema, even if it is going on. There is a film about past, present, future, yes, but you're not involved. Okay? Like there is maybe a guy chanting something there. Maybe it's only a recording. Yeah? We don't know if it's a live person. Maybe it's only a recording. Yes, it usually is. Huh? So we could comment on the present. We could get involved. We could have emotions. We can also drop it. We cannot get involved. Depends. It's our decision, right? Maybe. Maybe tonight we don't get involved. Okay? It's like that. You decide for yourself when you get involved. The film is still going on. The music still continues. And this is the same with all the ideas about life, all of what you think you are, what's happening, what your country is, this and that, all the thoughts. Okay, open your eyes. How much of that is really happening now? Breathe in, breathe out. And the cinema will continue again. But breathe in, breathe out. Then if you want to think about something, think about it. Yes, think creatively, but just don't call it meditation. It is contemplation. You think about it and you want to think, so you do it. And then when you have enough of it, you say, okay, that was a good thinking. Now I can relax again. And you do it, and if the cinema arises, it's not time to follow the cinema, you relax again. I'm practicing this very often. I have a very active mind. Yes, I do have also periods of deep calm. But meeting so many people, hearing so many stories, of course, there is a lot, you know, a lot which wants to be digested. And that's fine. But I can let it arise without getting involved in it. Okay? So this was for all of us who have a predominantly active mind. Maybe good news for you, if you have an active mind. Yes. It applies to women and men the same. It's just the cinema is a little bit different. It's a lot of difference between the different cinemas. Yes, yes. And
the mapping box, sitting on the top of the wood, just not meditating, nothing. The nothing box. I don't think it exists with women. Really? Women's brain is a little bit different than
men's. Where? There is already someone protesting, and we should be so fair to let the women talk for themselves. Yes. Look, I think this is up to the women to talk for themselves. Yes, this is only fair, because as far as I know, it works for them as well. It's just different cinema, but it works. As far as I know, but you can correct me. Yes, so. Well, since you mentioned men and women, I give you a little bit tantric teaching on this. A little bit something maybe which helps. From the view of Buddhist Tantra, the men are only on the surface men. If you go one layer deeper, they are women. And the women are only on the surface women. If you go one layer deeper, they are men. And if you go for both of them, if you go another layer deeper, they are neither woman nor man. Maybe you take that home. There's a deep meaning in that. I had to discover the woman in me. Yes, it was a beautiful discovery. And then I discovered that I'm neither man nor woman. But first the integration of my female side, and then letting go of both. And I have seen with women going the past that they were discovering the man in them and then also letting go of both. When you look at awakened teachers, I mean those who have gone a long way with practice, then so, you know, of course they have their appearance, but the men show so many female aspects, and the women, they show many male aspects. There is an integration of these forces happening. And it's beautiful to see. So I just want to encourage every one of you to take that side of yourself also into the practice. And don't be afraid to do that. You can only win. You win another half. Lila, what do you say?
I say amen.
Shalom aleichem. Okay, let's practice a little bit. You say more?
I'm reminded of many years ago, I went for the Dharma. I left everything and I arrived in India to practice. And I had a long blonde hair back then. And I had a very strong urge to go neither woman nor man, to go beyond identity. So I shaved my head. And it was in India. And the children were walking after me, calling me Gandhi. And I was so insulted. how come they call me Gandhi? They really think I'm a man? But wait, I wanted to go beyond. And then when I reached to Thailand, I got so much praises for looking like a nun. And I was feeling so good. And then I said, wait, but I want to go beyond that. It was more on the superficial level. I realized cutting the hair and trying to go beyond in that way was not... it was maybe like halfway or maybe quarter of the way, but it was a good try.
Something which works really well for people with an active mind is dynamic meditation. That, you know, that's something which this Rajneesh Bhagwan, what is he called? Osho developed in those days, but it is so simple. Choose good music, and play it, and dance to it. And really, dance to it until you feel the moment has come that you switch it off, and then you sit down. And it's so easy. It's so helpful. I don't like so many of the other things that this person invented or brought into the world, but yes, there are some good aspects. And if there are some, one should name them. This is among... I tried that out, because in those days in Germany there were so many followers of him. And so I tried that, yes, and it works. So at times, when you feel like it, why don't you try it out? Put the kind of music you like, dance. And then when you feel you've had your share, then sit somewhere. From our Tibetan teacher, we received pretty much the same instruction with the prostrations. So you do these full body prostrations, stretching out on the floor, getting up again, do it, and you know, after 50 you are in sweat. After 100 you want to stop. And then you continue. Yes? And so we were doing lots of them. But the instruction was, when you feel the moment has come, then, without drying yourself, without searching for your seat, just there where you prostrate, you sit down and you do nothing. Just that. And this is the Mahamudra idea about just be natural. Let the mind be as it is. Because in such moments, you can experience it easily. You're not into manipulating. You're just after the exercise, stay. The heart is still pumping, the lungs are still working strongly, and the mind, just you look straight ahead and nothing to do. Don't try to meditate. Okay. But now we could try to meditate. Those who like to stand or to do a little walking or something, you can do. I don't think I will give many instructions now. So find your own best way of doing it. I will give the instructions now for the active mind, okay? Please, whose mind is calm, you stay with the calm mind, and the others we do with, I will try with the active mind, okay? Okay. It's like fireworks, huh? There's a lot going on. It's like watching fireworks. Lots of that. And it's very important to not fight with the fireworks, but to enjoy them, to leave them as they are, to give space. All kinds of colors, all kinds of ideas. And you notice that this arises in space. And if you have thoughts now, I can't do it, I can't do it, you know, this is fireworks. Just give space to that. If there are thoughts like you must, you should, also, just fireworks, cinema. Yes, enjoy life. Enjoy that. And see how quickly everything arises. It arises, arises, arises. You can't even see the passing away, you only see the arising. Always something new. Sometimes you're surprised that there is a gap. As if someone had forgotten to make fireworks. But it happens. Sometimes a gap and then it continues. And at times it is as if you were looking different films at the same time. Just little images from there, another image from that side. So if you were switching channels on TV, relax back. Try to look through the cinema, through the TV on the other side. Try to really look through. There's space on the other side. There's space all around. No fighting with your own mind. This mind is active and it's beautiful. It produces so many beautiful images. Sometimes we are caught. Maybe we like to be caught, then also we smile about that. And when we don't like to be caught anymore, we have the option Ah, okay. Yeah, this is one of my typical films. And you enjoy a little ride in the cinema. It's not always good films that you are watching, that's clear. But then even it's a little bit difficult to get out of a film you don't like so much. But then, yes, at a certain moment, as if you were shaking your head a little bit, you realize, oh, okay, that was the film. Sometimes with an active mind, you feel like you want to run. You would like to run away. Find a place where you can hide from your own mind. This will not be possible. So stay and look and see that incredibly cinema, sometimes so loud, so powerful. But be aware that these are like magical productions. Incredibly realistic. Allow the mind to be as wide as possible, as vast as possible, like the sky. Let's not make it too long. And the mind is very active, then this kind of practice also needs to be short. So to finish with this little instruction, the basic idea is to see, always to see through, and not to become desperate about one's own mind. Mind can be very, very active. Mind can produce, wow, such powerful scenarios of desperate, so fearful, so everything. We say in the Buddhist tradition that we have all the six realms in us, which means that we, from hell to heaven, we have everything. Yeah, everything is in our mind. We can experience all of that. And all of this is produced by the mind. Yes. And see it to be mind. This will be the most important instruction. This is what really will make a change. Like in cinema, you see it to be a film. Now in the real life, you see it to be mind. You see it. You don't make more of it. It is the productions. And they are ceaseless. They are without end. It's also important to know you cannot stop the mind. You cannot stop it. You can relax it. But the more you relax, then you have a strange thing happening, that because you relax a little bit more, then even more arises. Oh, that wasn't the intention in the beginning, that there's more arising, I wanted to have less. Yes, with a certain amount of control, one can go for less. But this is for the people who have access to that. Yeah, this is for people who have access to a calm mind. But don't tell yourself, if you're more of the active, dynamic kind, that you should have a calm mind. This is not what you should tell yourself. You have an active mind, it's creative. Go with that. Sail the energy of your own mind. Yes? We master that energy. So give it again and again a good direction, again and again, disidentify with the show, and then create your life with this active mind in such a way that it is beneficial. You are normally, if you are of the active kind, you are normally the type of person who has a lot of ideas, has a lot of projects, and is very spontaneous, can have many projects at the same time. Just take care to channel your energy so that you continue with the projects which are dear to your heart, that you can finish them, and don't engage so much in all the other ideas, which of course our mind also has. You don't have to buy into all these ideas. You are being challenged in the walking meditation. Can you explain me a little bit more what is the challenge for you when you walk?
Because you feel like
It sounds to me like you're walking too slowly. You could walk a little bit quicker, then you don't have these problems of balance. To walk and think. This is your habitual. So you think that it will be better when you slow down the walking and then you have less thinking. But then the challenge is there that the walking itself becomes a little bit strange. Yes? So if I allow, I will ask Lila if I'm allowed to say a few words about Maha Mudra and walking meditation. Yes. I've been doing Maha Mudra meditation while jogging, and I would do like this when jogging. You know, there's curved ways, and then I can see, okay, 50 meters ahead, there is like a pole. I will pass that pole. So then I will say myself, from now until that pole, I will remember to keep a spacious mind. Yeah? So I jog, and it's possible, yes, for that distance, I manage to jog and not identify so much with the jogging, but actually be in that spacious mind. Okay, then around the pole, corner of the road, street, you know, whatever. And then when I feel ready for it, I give myself a distance over there. Okay, until then, I will run with metta in my heart. Where I will be like imagining that light shines to all the little insects and birds and so on. Yes, and I will give myself like little tasks, which I like, while I move. And of course, I can slow down. And I'm used from my old times to very slow walking also. But I felt like you that slow walking sometimes is really artificial. So in the Maha Mudra tradition, it is more natural walking. You walk as natural as possible. And you look where your mind is. So you can become interested in the body. In the Maha Mudra Tibetan tradition, you think sometimes that the Lama, the Guru, is riding on your right shoulder, so that the Guru is walking with you. So you take a walk with the Guru, and this is the place of reverence. Yeah, it's like you always circumambulate the master like this, always on your right side. And then you walk while doing mantras, you walk while being attentive to the breathing, you walk while remembering the illusory nature of phenomena. As you walk through the kibbutz, you remember the illusory nature of phenomena. It's absolutely possible. Yes, you can give yourself little tasks while you walk. The walking releases the physical energy, but it is not in itself a means to get enlightened. It is only a support. So you don't have to slow down. I saw some of you doing it really slowly, so I like that. Because for a certain kind of practice, for a certain kind of really getting absorbed in the movement and to feel, to develop a feeling for the body, it's good. But for other forms of practice, you would say, oh, there is too much fixation in that. There is too much clinging to an outer form. So I use the very slow walking. I use it only when I feel my mind really appreciates that. And I encourage you to find your speed and whatever the movement is you like to do. It doesn't have to be walking. It's only written walking meditation because we are in Tovana. So... Yes.
So then I can actually apply it to any task, like, you know, washing the dishes.
Yes. any task. And for example, a good task is, okay, I will answer this email. While writing the email, I put all my attention into writing this email, and then I'm sure to make a little pause before answering the next one. So I program the pause already when I begin with the email. It might take a while. Some emails take 20 minutes to answer, others are half a minute. So, but I don't just go, 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 go. I program the pause, and I take the communication, the email itself, to be a Dharma practice. So I have the Dharma practice of responding to the mail, to quality communication, and the quality pause. And then I enter the next communication. Like this, it will be easier to do good work and to digest also a little bit, to feel what this did with me before entering the next communication. It's like this, you know, I'm talking for everybody. So whatever your different works are, program, you know, direct your attention to the quality of what you're doing, do it really well, and then take care that very soon a pause is coming. This, like this, you can live very meaningful days, because most of us, we are lucky enough to have a kind of meaningful work. So what we are doing is actually, we have chosen to do it. It's not so bad. If we do it well, it will be more satisfying than if we don't do it well. So we do it as good as we can, but we take care that it is not a non-stop activity. It has to have pauses again and again and again, mini pauses. Yeah, as a teacher, you have to give them a task, and then you have a little moment when they talk. You inwardly, you need to pause. The art of these communicative professions, like being a teacher, is that while the other talks, you make your pause. You still listen, but you're not reactive yet. You don't think already about the answer. You're just listening, and you learn to be in a very receptive state. Of course, teaching young kids like you are doing is a little bit more difficult. As a therapist, it's very easy. Very easy. Yes. Yeah, you switch to therapy. Huh? Yes, yes. But you are doing therapy as for children. So you can also learn that there are little breaks. Find them. Yes? Okay. Yes? It's the air, the wind. You're talking about the air, the wind. Yes.
I just put it up on the wall just before coming here.
Let's go again. Because this is the topic of tonight. We were with activity. We were with the active mind. And this is part of, this fits very well to the teaching tonight, yes? We were with the dynamic, creative mind. Now, normally, the samsaric pattern, which is released there, is a pattern of wanting to have more, wanting to improve the life, yes? Which is based on dissatisfaction. I don't like what is happening. The basic pattern is envy, jealousy, ambition, competition, and so on. A world of dissatisfaction. Yes? Now, this is this dissatisfied energy makes people always try to improve their life. And this is why they build more and more houses, they use more and more resources, they never really happy. You know, the house is finished and they already think of changing the curtains and so on. You know, it's like never-ending story. So what to do there, the first step, I didn't explain that really, the first step is to develop satisfaction with how it is. So out in the outer world, to develop a sense of contentment. But here we are talking about the mind. That in the mind, we find that as we open up, as we allow the mind to flow naturally, we touch in a deep feeling of satisfaction, deep contentment. Yeah, and the third is connected with the fifth, right? They are on the opposite sides. We are really seeing that all of this chasing for happiness outside is not bringing a solution. So a deeply relaxed mind then sees the perfection of the moment now. This is the fifth petal, yes? This is the all-accomplishing. And this seeing of the perfection of now is combined with an activity, the activity which normally wants to improve the world is available for all sentient beings to show them that there is nowhere to go, that they already have the wish-fulfilling jewel in their mind, so to speak, in their pocket, is already at home. So the activity of this creative mind, we are on the fifth petal, on the fifth energy, this is an all-perfecting activity, which means showing every mind stream that its own nature is perfect. It's not perfecting the world. It is showing how everything is already perfect. Yes, yes, exactly. Yes, you share that. You share that. Exactly. And you become this catalyst. I was talking about on another day, becoming a catalyst. You are not inactive, but actually somehow you're radiating this, let's call it perfection, you're radiating this quality. This is what the mind does at that point. And you trust that activity of mind. So I have, of course, not talked about all the intermediate stages. There's a lot to learn in each of these areas. Basically, the teaching was about, hey, our mind is active, is creative, and when it is without fixation, this activity is absolutely wonderful. It's a natural, spontaneous presence for the benefit of all. And it can manifest in all different forms. So we need that active mind. Yeah, okay, thank you. This is a sign, which means good. Kim, yeah. Yes. Yes. That's it. Yes. 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 And see through the movie. Yes. Yes. Go with the movie doesn't mean to buy the movie, but to see through. Yes? So, yes, you can use both approaches. Sometimes it's really possible to do it exactly like that, like when I was teaching it to you, then I was actually practicing that and it was possible. But at other times, like when I come back from meeting all of you and I sit in my room or I sit in the morning on the lawn, then I allow all the movies, all the impressions of the day to arise. I notice them and they pass through. I don't get involved, but there's a kind of digestion. So I use the other form. I used to like seeing the movie and looking through the movie. It doesn't mean that one doesn't take it serious. It's all information about what is happening inside. But one is not adding on to it. One is not giving more importance to it so that it can really liberate itself. And yes, one can, even when you become fine, you can see, you can feel thoughts wanting to arise before they arise, and you can even stop before. You can relax that thirst for thinking. You can relax that wish that wants to think. And you don't even know whether that was going to be a thought about the past, present, or future. You can just feel the movement towards the thought, and you can already relax then, which is wonderful, of course, if one can do it. But I'm not using it all the time because I have seen, and maybe this is good to share with all of you, I have seen I was quite clever in this relaxing thinking and so on, but I felt that I was using it somehow to avoid emotions. So it was my tricks of bypassing, spiritual bypassing. Yeah, I was like also using this. So part of my Mahamudra practice was then, and still is, to allow for the emotions to arise, not to relax them so quickly, only when they were properly tasted and seen. Not expressed, no need for that, but not too quick. Don't try to get, because this would be like an attitude to get rid of them. We don't want to get rid of them. They are fine. They are, as I said, they are expressions of compassion, maybe unskillful, but nevertheless, they express often a self-protection or a need. And yes, so learning to let them arise without getting involved is a big learning in life. It's a big learning. Because you see, it's so easy to say, look through the cinema, but if I continue really proper teaching, and then we are part of the cinema. The cinema needs us. Huh? It's like a theater play, a drama act, where we have a role. We are in a role in this world. We have many roles in this world. So the cinema we are talking about involves us. And to see that it is a play means, like an actor in the theater, to get into the role, to be a school teacher, for example, to take on that role, but to not be identified with it. So school is over, I'm not a teacher anymore. Teaching here is over, I'm just a normal chap on the road. You know, I'm not continuing with the role when it's not asked for. This is no identification. Yes, I'm a mother for my children, but not when they are adults, you know, when they don't ask me to be a mother. You know, this is a pain, you know, when the mother wants to be a mother and the child is already 50 years old, you know. It's like, you know, we have to adapt. We have to adapt. Sometimes it's nice and sometimes it's not asked for. So we go into the role in the theater play, we fulfill it properly, we play it properly, like I try to be a proper teacher to you, but then I'm not that when I go walking, you know, and meet the next person, I'm not the teacher. I'm not that. It's not asked for. It's not my role. I'm just ordinary person. Just a normal guy. And I love it. Oh, you did? Great. Tell us.
Well, I don't have any thoughts about past, future, or present. It's a beautiful movie. Images and words. It's amazing, but it doesn't have nothing to do with
daydream. No, it's called daydream.
No, it's not daydream.
Oh, it's not even that. Great, great. So, yes, yes, yes. Yes. Very good, very good. Yes. This doesn't belong to the categories of past, present, and future. It happens in the present, but it is sheer, pure imagination. Yes. So, let's check. Were you aware? Yes, so? Did you believe what was going on?
No.
Great, so it was meditation.
Mm-hmm.
He forgot one. Yeah, he forgot one. We add the seventh one. Yes, okay. That is exactly. I'm so happy that you share that with us. I didn't know, because this artificial situation of allowing for the active mind, I didn't know if someone here would be able to really feel the active mind. And you did. You felt it and you unleashed it. And it's great that you're talking about it. And you didn't buy the story. And that's the meditation. Exactly. That's seeing through. So then you can watch lots of movies. And then you will feel there's of course this now you were enjoying, it's nice, but this is actually when you then two experiences can happen. One is that there is all of that going on and you feel very peaceful at the same time. You're nodding. Is that what you felt? You felt peaceful while it was going on. So this is the first experience. The other experience might also have had someone here in the room. Normally you have an active mind, and when you allow your mind to be active, nothing is happening. Some people are nodding. Okay, so this is also an experience that as soon as you're not on the brakes anymore, you say, go, think. Nothing happens. And that's also a very good experience, because the permission takes away the pressure. And this is a very important understanding, that sometimes it is just the pressure that we feel, under which we put ourselves, which creates all that incredible activity. And for you it was different. It was actually you can see a lot of joy in what you are sharing, a joy in the creativity of mind. And that's fine. So really, at times, enjoy like that. It's fantastic. Yes. And there is a certain time to respect. There's a staff meeting still waiting, or something like this, yes? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me sing the Tibetan dedication for you. Oh, you want to sing the mantra? Oh, you want to sing the mantra. Om Tadentu Tadentu De Swaha. Om Tadentu Tadentu De Swaha. Now quicker. Om Tade Tu Tade Tu Re Swaha. 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 Om Tade Tu Tade Tu Re Swaha.